You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Friday, the final day of the week, as we talk about sports, life, love, and other things.
And sailing.
And sailing. And whatever music you have for in store for
whatever
us.
Whatever comes
Tom.
Up.
Tom, good to see from you. Tom, I haven't seen you in a week.
Not in a while. We've had some excitement since the last time we've seen each other.
We have. Tell me, because your excitement and my excitement are two different things.
Well, I'm sorry if that's the case.
Tell me, what? You took a nap? I took a nap. I need a nap. I'm tired.
I was thinking about doing that myself.
Yeah, I'm getting old fast.
Well, you watched the game last night, I'm sure.
I sure did. I didn't know what to make of it, so my column was horrible. But the one thing that I came away with that I'm still kind of perplexed about, they're 11-4. They don't know how to close out wins or games. And that's a concern. And not that it is a concern for me, but I think it should be a concern.
For Wildcat fans.
For Wildcat fans, because if you've done it once, you've done it twice, maybe three times, and you failed to close out games, it's very difficult because guess what? That eventually turns into your identity. Well, last night, they had that game won.
It was their game to win, and I was talking to myself because there's nobody else there for me to talk to. I live alone.
Good conversation.
I said, if they don't win this game in regulation time, if it goes into overtime, they're going to lose.
Right.
Because Oregon has the experience, and the Wildcats don't.
Well, let me tell you, Tom, they didn't win it in regulation, but they should have won it in overtime.
They had a chance to win it in overtime as well. And we saw one of those deals where crunch time, seconds to play, Mannion throws up some
funny-looking shot.
I don't know. Was it a shot? Was he throwing it up for
it could have been
Zeke
both.
To...
It could have been both. That's a good point.
But then, there towards the end of the game and into overtime, Zeke Nagy was flat-footed.
Yeah.
He was not active.
He didn't
was
chase not... some balls that he should have gotten after. Yeah, it's very, very weird. I don't want to say disturbing because it's not my disturbing to be disturbed about. But Arizona should have won that game. There's no question about it. They had a couple of calls that did not go their way. But you have to overcome those calls.
Yeah. A call does not a game make.
No. I'm glad you said that because I think fans believe that. In fact, I mentioned a couple of them, and I never, ever do, and I just did. That save of the ball going out of bounds, and they called it on...
That could have gone either way.
Could have gone either way, but they called because they thought he had stepped on the end line, and he didn't. And the ball went exactly where they needed it, right in front of the basket. So they had to recalibrate.
Yeah.
Pritchard's pass.
Yeah, it got into the hands of
Josh Green,
and he was right there to stuff it.
Right. There was a guy in front of him, but he probably could have scored.
I think he could have gotten by him.
So, in circumstances, if I didn't take left in Albuquerque, I'd be in Dallas. Or if I didn't take a left in somewhere, I would have been somewhere else. So you never know what's going to happen. It was a game they should have won. They should win Sunday.
They better win Sunday.
They have to win Sunday, yeah. I said earlier this week, I don't know if it was yesterday, before the game, that I don't think they're going to be any worse than a 5 seed and any better than a 3 seed. I changed my mind after last night, and I'll stick to this moving forward, that they're no better than a 3 seed and no worse than a 6 seed.
That sounds reasonable.
Yeah. Someone had said that they were going to be like an 8 or something. They're not going to be an 8. They're still a good team, except that they need to learn how to win.
If they beat Oregon State Sunday, I don't think their ranking is going to change. I think they're going to stay right where they are.
Okay, but you know what? It means nothing.
I know.
You know it means nothing.
But, I mean, that's really the only thing that fans have to gauge how one team is doing compared to other teams.
Yeah, no, I get it. But true. But it's a false narrative, if that makes any sense. You're ranked 25 or 20. What does it really matter? Doesn't matter anything. Surely it doesn't matter in January.
So Oregon fell from 3 to what, 9?
4 to 9.
4-9.
Yeah, and
well,
it means nothing.
I think they'll stay about where they are.
They're still the best team in the conference. Arizona's the second or third best team in the conference.
They looked evenly matched last night, except for the experience factor.
Right.
And the fact that some of the guys seem to be running out of gas for the Wildcats, and in the face of Pritchard playing the whole game, 45
yeah.
minutes.
Well, see, I don't know. I understand the term, and I use it every now and again. I think that term is overstated. What do you mean by running out of gas?
Well, getting tired.
You think so?
I don't. Zeke Nagy looked tired to me at the end of the game. He was not jumping. He was not getting off his feet. He was not going after rebounds.
Maybe it's just circumstances of play. I don't know. Out of gas, these kids are 19, 18, 19. They do this for a living.
They shouldn't be
getting
out of gas.
And they probably weren't. They just got outplayed. I mean, every day is a different day, and I say every game is a season. They got beat this season yesterday.
But
the good thing is it's not by a better team, because they had a very good team, or supposed very good team, on the ropes at home. That doesn't happen.
Right.
But yesterday, before the game started, I thought they'd lose by 8-10.
Yeah, but in the second half, the Oregon bench outscored the Wildcats.
Arizona
bench.
Doesn't have a bench. They don't have a. They don't have a.
I thought they were
they
going
did.
To have. It
we
looked
did.
Like they were
we
going
did.
To have.
We all did. But go to their five, their top five, and let me tell you, Dylan Smith had a decent game.
He's been a pleasant surprise.
But
to me.
Last night he had a good game and then a bad game, a good game and then he faltered at the end with that turnover,
that bad pass to Zeke Nagy,
and then the free throw.
Yeah,
and then the free throw. So, you know, if you can microscope a game from possession to possession, but they, you know, Baker, they had...
If Smith had hit the two free throws that he missed,
yes.
They would have won the game in regulation.
Time and circumstance probably would have given that victory. But you know what? Do you believe... Well, the basketball gods. Do you believe in basketball gods?
Well, you believe in destiny.
I believe in destiny.
I'm more of a... help me with the term. You know what I'm trying to say.
No.
Momentum guy.
Yeah.
I'm more of a momentum
guy. Arizona had momentum in the first half. How did that go?
Well, they were playing well in the first half.
Yeah,
they came out, maybe not with as much energy as they did in the first half against Arizona State, but they were playing the way they needed to against Oregon.
No, they were up by 11.
Yeah.
Arizona State's not that good. So the opponent matters. I liked how they played in spurts, maybe for 30. They played 45 minutes.
Do you think they caught Oregon off guard in the first half and then Oregon got it back together in the second half?
Possibly, which would be very strange for Oregon not to be ready for this game.
Yeah.
So we'll see. If they don't come up and play well on Sunday, that'd be disappointing.
Yeah, very.
So it's still it's a cash grab for now, because Oregon's the best team in the league. Not by far, now that you witnessed yesterday's game. But I think what it did was give Arizona fans hope.
And to me, the biggest difference is the experience. I mean, Pritchard's, a senior, for crying out loud, at guard, point guard? And we're going to lose Nico Mannion after one season. What in the world is going on? We're never going to get that kind of experience if they play one season and leave, for crying out loud. How do we get these guys to stick around? How does Oregon do it?
Because those kids aren't ready for the NBA when they're freshmen.
Do you think Mannion's going to be ready for the NBA?
No. He's leaving.
He'll get drafted.
He's leaving.
But he'll be, relegated to the Development League? What do they call it? The G League?
No, he'll play. He'll make a roster. He'll make a roster.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah, will he play a lot early? No, not so much. Well, look at Trier. I don't think Trier's playing very much anymore.
No. Not hardly any of the guys that left early.
That's just the way it is. Well, marketing is.
But can you imagine what the Wildcats would be like next season if Mannion stuck around and Josh Green stuck around and Zeke Nagy stuck around?
Tom, look at Kentucky.
I know, it's wishful thinking.
Every other school. Look at what would happen if these guys stuck around. Every other big program says the same thing. Let's take a quick break here on 10:30 The Voice. It's already our first segment gone into the wind. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. It went so fast, we didn't even have time to talk about the show today. We have the new coach of the FC Tucson, John Gallus, calling in about 6:30 at the second break We'll talk to him in FC Tucson, see what's going on. I didn't realize he was the coach, assistant coach last year. He's been around for a while. He's an assistant or associate head coach at the University of Arizona women's soccer team a few years back, maybe a decade ago. We'll talk about that. So a new fresh face at the head of the FC Tucson program. And then at 6:45-ish, we're going to have KOLD's Damian Alameda talking about a variety of things in some UA football, UA basketball, women. The women have a big game tonight. I don't know if you know that, Tom.
They do have a big game and hoping for a big crowd. Last I heard, they were pushing 6,000 or somewhere around there.
Yeah, I would venture to guess that they might have more than that, 7,000.
I know that Adia Barnes was saying, come on, we can get 10,000 in here. So who knows? We may get there.
Should be a lot of fun. I'm not going to head out there too tired to do that, but good luck to the ladies. And I don't usually say that too many times because I'm not supposed to be biased. I'm a straight shooter here.
Well, wishing someone good luck is just being cordial, don't you think?
Good luck, Tom.
Thank you. Good luck to you too, Steve.
So they hired the UA football team hired an assistant coach, a defensive back coach. I don't know if you saw that today.
I saw that. I guess that pretty much rounds out the new
coaching staff,
defensive coaching staff. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Do you think that'll work any miracles?
Probably not.
You are probably correct. I would bet against.
But I hope for some improvement.
You can hope all you want. What did I say? Good luck with that.
No, we're not even going to have any improvement. I don't want a miracle. I just want some improvement.
Yeah,
that's all.
I guess is how you say is as Andy Buh, B-U-H.
B-U-H.
Buh.
I haven't come across that name
before. Maybe Damien will clarify how he
pronounce that.
Yeah.
Could be.
Those TV guys are
could
smart
be Boo.
Could be.
I've heard of people named Boo, but I never knew how they spelled it.
Yeah, I'll have to ask my Boo about that.
Yeah.
You didn't get that, but neither do I, so it doesn't matter. So women have a good game, big night tonight.
They're playing
come back on
who?
Sunday.
Oregon or Oregon State? State?
Oregon State
tonight, okay.
Oregon State.
And then they play Oregon this weekend.
Yes, it's a huge weekend.
It's a big weekend for them.
I talked to PJ Brown of the Daily Star this week, and I asked her if she thought this was the biggest weekend in the history of the program. She didn't kind of want to go there because she thought if they win, yes. But I think that, and I think Greg Hansen wrote about that this week, that it is the biggest because I can't remember you've had two top five teams coming in for the same weekend against the same school here. Never. I don't think that's ever happened. Men or women.
Yeah, and the men are on the road playing the same
group.
Men's team for the schools.
Same schools,
men team.
Yeah, so let me ask you something. After watching, because you watch basketball pretty closely here, and who needs to step up more for this program to be more successful? And you cannot give me the top three guys. And remember, if you're relying on the top three guys and they're freshmen, don't you think there's going to be instability with that? And that's maybe what you're seeing?
Because we don't know what the freshmen are going to do next season.
No,
have a pretty good idea what Mannion's going to do.
I'm talking about if you're going to rely on three freshmen, you're going to get inconsistent play.
Right.
Or you're not going to have a leader per se.
Well,
who's the guy that needs
to
step up?
I'd like to see more from Stone Gettings. He's recovering from the injury. I understand that. And I saw in the game last night that he was getting it back. He was getting his shooting eye back. He was getting back into the flow of the game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think in hoping that we'll see more from him, I'd like to see more from Baker. I think Baker could be a little more of a take charge guy out there when Mannion's sitting. Someone's got to take charge, so why not Baker? I think that's his role.
Right.
Expected role, anyway.
See, but outside of that, Jeter's not that guy.
You know what? He's trying, and I think that we're seeing about all he's able to do.
Correct. He's that senior guy, but he's not that guy of take charge. He is what he is. He's going to have a nice career somewhere, but it's just not going to be.
He's done a little better lately on rebounding, but he's not making some of these bunny shots that he should be making.
And that ain't going to happen for Myra Lee. Coloco looks better, but that ain't going to happen because he's not going to play enough.
Yeah, he might. Yeah, he will probably rely on him more next season.
Where I probably might be going with this, Tom, is you might live and die the rest of the season with your top three guys, all
and they're freshmen.
Yeah, how does that sit with you?
So, not too good.
No, we can't. I don't blame you.
We have shown that we cannot depend on them when it's crunch time.
Right. And guess what? There's going to be a lot of crunch time.
Yeah. Oh, especially between now and March, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm.
You'll get your victories, but you're also going to get your defeats for that same reason. They're going to look good at times and not looking good at others.
Did you get the feeling that it felt to me like the game last night was a Pac-12 playoff game, Pac-12 conference playoff game?
That's a good question. I typically would, if I were there, I would feel that excitement and feel that that rush. I didn't get that. One, because it wasn't a big crowd in Oregon. I know they talked about it being packed.
But they were boisterous.
Yeah, there was 12,000 seats. 12,000. They think they said there were 8,000-9,000.
That's surprising.
It is, because I had a guy from the Eugene Register Guard on, Steve Mims, and he talked about it's too early. There's a lot of success. They just came back from the Rose Bowl, fans. The women are in the top five. The men are in the top 10. How much money do you have in your pockets to go to all these games?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you have to pick and choose where you're going to go.
If that game last night was in the Pac-12 championship series and was in Las Vegas, I think the Wildcats would have won it.
Fantastic game. A neutral court?
Yeah.
I agree. But remember, and I say this, and I'm not trying to convince you, every game is a season, and that game last night, they played well enough to win. Doesn't mean they're going to play well enough the next time. We'll see the next time Oregon comes down here.
But it's got to be a teaching moment for those freshmen that you're talking about.
Yes.
They've got to be seeing
Let me ask you, because I talk about this all the time. Okay, teaching moments. They've had 14 teaching moments to this point. At some point, when do you start to learn, Tom?
Well, yeah. But, all right, so there they were. They were on the cusp. They could have won it in regulation. And like you say, they could have even pulled it out in overtime.
I'm tired of that cusp, Tom. tired of that cusp.
Let's have a 5-6-8-point lead in the last minute, okay, guys?
Yeah, well, you had a 4-point lead pretty late.
Yeah, and they could have turned it into a 6-point lead if they hadn't missed a couple of free throws.
Yes. Oh, it's opportunities. You never know what's going to happen. We have 2.5 months left before the tournament starts, and that's when it really counts. And then you'll say, you remember back in January when we said there was those learning lessons?
Yeah.
How many learning lessons do you need?
I think, will we know anything against Oregon State if they learned anything in the Oregon game?
No. Okay. Opponents matter. You won't know again until they play Washington or somebody good. Somebody said this to me, and someone I really trust and admire, sent me a text midway through that game. And he says, when was the last time, and maybe a caller can call in and tell me, when was the last time Arizona beat somebody they were not supposed to beat?
Let that sink in.
Yeah, it is a good question. I couldn't remember.
I don't know. Maybe UCLA on their home court a few years ago.
I don't know, because last year they were horrible, considerably horrible, right?
Do they play UCLA again this season?
I think so. Yeah, at least one time.
They played in L.A. the first game, so they'll probably play.
When? This year?
Didn't they?
No.
Haven't they played them yet?
This is only the second game.
Am I thinking of the girls' game? Maybe I'm thinking They might be thinking of the girls' game.
The football game. No, girls haven't played.
Didn't they play UCLA?
No.
The girls?
No. This is only the first weekend, outside of last weekend with ASU. So, no. Where are you coming from? Did you take a nap on me?
I thought, maybe I dreamed it. Here's my dream. UCLA was ranked 10, and I thought that the Wildcats played them and lost the game, and I must have dreamed it.
Yeah, you must have. take another nap, Tom.
Yes.
Dreams.
Give me a pill.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay. That's what you definitely need.
Yeah, right.
Okay. We're going to have Coach John Gallus here in a few minutes once we get through this break here. Thanks for listening, everybody. The number is 790-2040. We're going to have Coach Gallus of FC Tucson come on board pretty soon. And if you have any questions, maybe at the 6:45 time when I have Damian Alameda, we can talk more about Arizona basketball. But let's go take a break. Is that about time to do that, Tom? I think it is. As we take a hard break at 6:30, come back and talk to FC Tucson coach John Gallus as we prepare for the soccer part of the show. Are we ready to go to break? Let's go to break here, Tom.
Yeah, I'm just talking to somebody on the phone. He's saying that, yeah, it was the girls. They played USC. They beat USC and lost to UCLA. It was last weekend, I guess.
Let's go take a quick break here real quick before we
got
to go.
Okay. What? All right, we got to do the break.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And now on the phone, we have the new coach of the FC Tucson team, John Gallus. How are you, coach?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Hey, welcome back. Obviously now in a different capacity. How's that seat, as they say in other sports, how's that seat to the right, and how's it feel for you?
You know, as a head coach, the seat's always a little warm. You know?
you're never safe. You're never safe.
No, it's you got to be careful. You know, you always want to become a head coach. At least I was ambitious enough to go for it. And now that I'm in, you know, a manager of a professional men's soccer team here in Tucson, that's always going to feel a little bit warm. But I relish the opportunity.
No, that's fantastic. Obviously, they have enough confidence in you to do the job, so you'll be fine. How was it last year? It was kind of an up-and-down year, you know, a lot of ties, and just you guys couldn't get past that hump. But maybe this year?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. You know, last year we were certainly, and this is not an excuse, but we were on the road traveling,
yeah,
I believe nine out of 10 weeks in a row. You know, we were out on the road, and it's our closest team is in Dallas. So we logged some serious miles on these boys' legs and spent a lot of time in the air. And I think over the course of the season, it certainly had an impact. But you're absolutely right. Whenever we got on a little bit of a run, you know, we just couldn't quite maintain that, you know, that intensity or the, you know, the luck or whatever you want to call it. We just couldn't get over that hump consistently. But we're excited for the new year. We're excited for the new challenge. We've made some changes in personnel on the field. We've got some announcements coming. We had a great announcement today with signing center back Niall Logue from the Irish Premier League, who played 2 years in college at Ohio State University. So we're adding some nice pieces to the puzzle, and you know, I'm excited to get going with these guys.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I was going to ask you, from year to year, is it mostly a revamp of rosters throughout the league? Is this what you're doing?
No. Well, I mean, it does vary from team to team. I mean, obviously, we've got a relationship with Phoenix Rising. But the main objective here is to sign players that we know can be, you know, long-term signings for FC Tucson, where maybe every year I'm adding two or three, four different players to add to the base and the foundation that we've created. You know, last year was a bit of an anomaly as it, you know, we had to build a team from scratch, and we certainly learned a lot. We had some wonderful players in the team last year, and this year it's kind of a reboot, if you will, but we've got some announcements coming up. And again, the goal is to make sure that every year we just add to, you know, the foundation that we built, you know, each year.
Will it be, I know maybe it's too early to tell, and you'll be making announcements like you said, if you have a roster of what, 20? What's the roster like?
Roughly 23.
23, okay.
23
so
is a bit of a magic number.
Will we see half the team return? What's the number, or is it?
I'm going to pass on that one. it depends. I mean, we're knee-deep in scouting right now, and talking to players and agents and really in the heavy phases of planning. The MLS draft, first two rounds were held yesterday. The third and fourth round MLS draft will be held on Monday. A lot will trickle down our way, so we're very aware of that, and we have to be patient at the same time, proactive, to make sure that we're you know, communicating with possible targets and agents and hopefully make some significant signings here in the next couple of weeks.
That's a fair and honest response. I like it. You have some experience in Tucson. I didn't realize that you were on the U of A staff, what, a decade ago?
Oh, that was that long ago, huh?
Sorry to date you.
Yes, I was. I was fortunate. I came down here, I believe, in 2007 to 11. I had a four-year run here at the University of Arizona with the women's program, and I'm proud to have been a part of that, and I'm thrilled for Tony Amato and his staff for what they've been able to do with that women's program in a very competitive conference.
My son's played soccer at the high school and college level. Let me ask you, how, and you can be as fair as you want to be, what's the difference, and how is it different for a coach when you coach college kids and this level kids and the women?
Well, college in general, I'll say this. You know, I entrusted my livelihood to a bunch of 18 to 22 year olds.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Nobody in their right mind would say, yeah, hey, that sounds like a great idea.
Right.
But no, the one thing I loved about coaching in college was the pageantry and being on campus and being around young people and helping them achieve their academic goals, their personal, you know, athletic goals, and then obviously the team goals, and representing a university is a tremendous experience. Coaching men versus women, I never really looked at it as a gender thing. The only thing I'd say is that I would say women need to feel well to play well, and men need to play well to feel well.
Oh, that's a great observation. No, I get it. And isn't it a different game? Isn't it a different game?
I mean, look, the ball, the goals are the same size. The fields are the same size. I think on the women's side, and oftentimes it's more of an actual team sport, and they don't rely solely on their athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think men never ask for directions? We think we can just do it ourselves.
It's an ego thing.
You know, we're not far away from caveman. Let's keep that in mind.
True.
And the women are much better problem solvers, and the game is a series of problems. So I enjoyed coaching both. I really did.
Yeah, no, I like your philosophy, though. That's very true. So you've hit the ground running. You know, whether you were probably – were you – how can I say this? Were you in town already before they made this announcement, kind of maybe hoping that this would happen? Or did you kind of get the announcement, and now you're really up against it with everything coming on pretty quickly?
Well, I think as any professional would do in a moment of transition, you do your job, you go to work, you act as if you are part of the plan moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it happened. You know, when Darren made the decision to move to Richmond to take on the Richmond Kickers position, you know, I was left in a little bit of limbo, but full knowing that this is part of the industry and this is part of what I signed up for. And I was in close communication with the powers that be and just let them know that I was certainly interested in taking over and I was going to do my job until I was told otherwise. And I didn't leave. I stayed here through the period of time in which I got my contract, and we worked a lot behind the scenes. I worked closely with John Perlman and identifying future targets and players. And I just went to work, and until they took the keys away or told me I was persona non grata, I was going to do my job. And, you know, very fortunate for the opportunity, fortunate for, you know, for the chance to be a professional head coach at this level. And here we are. And now things are absolutely ramping up, and I'm excited. We've got MLS teams coming into preseason here in about 10 days.
Yeah.
And it's going to get really fun and really hectic and really busy and really exciting for our Tucson community.
Yeah, surely won't be bored. When does the so we have you over for about another minute? When does the kind of the season begin? When people start to officially kind of show up to start working out and stuff?
We'll break for preseason camp on about February 19th. Our guys will come in. We'll knock out all our team meetings and physicals, and then our first FC Tucson training session is February 23rd. Right after the Visit Tucson MLS Sun Cup, which will finish, it'll run from February 15th to the 22nd. And then we hit the ground running. We've got our first match at home against Toronto 2 from MLS Soccer's Toronto affiliate, and we play March 28th at home.
It's a long, long season. I realized that last year because we were still talking to you guys late into September, isn't it? Must feel that way.
Yeah. Well, it's, I guess, from, you know, it's a grind, and it's awesome, and it is long, but there's nothing I'd rather be doing from, you know, Monday through Sunday.
Monday through Sunday, right. Right, right. It's kind of like my job. You know, not a lot of pay, but it's a lot of fun.
I hear you on that.
Coach, hey, good to talk to you. We'll talk to you more. I like your philosophy. I'm a guy about sports philosophy. We'll talk more about that, too, and picking players' brains and how to make them tick or what makes them tick.
Let's do it, and I appreciate the support, and hopefully everyone will come out and watch some MLS soccer here in the coming months and support us down the road starting March 28th.
I was there a couple times. You got some pretty good fan base. It's good. It's nice.
We do. We want to grow it. We want to be good pillars in the community and bring soccer to life here in Tucson, Arizona, and we can't wait to get going. You're going to love this team.
Right. Great. Thanks, Coach Gallus. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, that was Coach John Gallus of the FC Tucson, spanking brand new coach. Just a couple of days ago, he was announced as the new coach. Let's take a quick break. Come back with Damian Alameda, talk about a variety of things here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And now, in a speed round, we're going to talk to Damian Alameda of KOLD. How are you, Damian, good friend?
I'm great, Steve. How are you? Happy New Year.
Same to you. Good to hear from you. Good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while, or have I? Maybe I have at a game?
Maybe you have. Maybe I don't know. It's all a blur as far as I'm concerned.
Your new role, I don't get to see you very often.
I know. New realities, right?
Better for you, sir. Better for you.
You say so.
Hey. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, go all over the map here. You see the basketball game last night?
I did.
What did you make of it? Let me tell you, just so I could say, it was very strange to me. Obviously, played well enough to win, but didn't. And my problem with the whole thing is they're showing that they don't know how to close games.
Arizona, yeah. I mean, last night was one of those pretty decent examples of youth coming to the surface and the differences between a young team and an experienced team like Oregon. All that being said, can we all be in agreement that Pritchard fouled Najee on the last shot?
They showed it about 20 times, and I still couldn't tell, so you say it, yes?
I'm going to say, I mean, his shot was so far from the rim that for a guy who shoots as high a percentage as he does inside, like, I mean, it looked like he slapped wrist. That's all I'm saying.
Well, he hit the ball first, but then got him on the wrist and the forearm, yeah, undoubtedly.
Okay, so I mean, that happens. We've got, you know, a different scenario, perhaps. Maybe Oregon wins, but maybe Arizona closes it out in the final seconds. It was a weird game. You're right. It was a weird game. I mean, the drama of it all coincided with the sloppiness.
Right.
Of it all. Mm-hmm. And that's what made it so frustrating. Right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And the other question I had, the milking of the clock in the final 2 minutes of regulation, which I got, but in terms of how they were milking the clock with everybody just hanging around and just waiting.
Right.
I have no idea. I've never been a coach at any level whatsoever, but I thought that was interesting. What do you think about that?
I had a problem with that too. I know that people don't like it, just the regular fan, when they try to, you know, they play not to lose. Guess what usually happens most of the time? They lose.
Right.
They lose.
Right.
So, yes, my whole thing, and I said this before the game started or even before the weekend started, you can tell that Sean's starting to let the air out of the ball again. They're not going to run like they had been running preseason, pre-conference. So that's a problem for me. He knows this because we've gone back and forth about the speed of the game. So that's a concern. I agree with you. Once they start slowing it down, they don't look the same, especially with these guys who love to run.
Right.
So you're playing not to your strength. Then again, I'm not paid $3.5 million to run this team. But
exactly.
I am getting paid $10.95 to criticize the team.
I mean, it was interesting. It was interesting because it all of a sudden made things predictable. You know?
Oh, very much so.
And
yeah.
If you're not at least if you're going to milk it, why not just continually put things in motion versus just hanging out for, I mean, make Oregon really defend you and really keep them off balance. But again, what do I know, right?
Well, go ahead. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, you were mentioning the speed of the game. Have you guys noticed that Nico Mannion is faster moving up court when he's dribbling the ball, bringing the ball up court, than he is when he's passing it to other players? It seems like they get the ball up court much faster, and he's ready to attack much sooner.
Well, that's what they do. That's what they should be doing.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
That's his strength. If you want to play to his strength,
he seems to be the fastest guy on the court when he does that.
Yeah, no question. Yeah. And then he has a sidekick that's very even faster. With Green, but that's not going to be the case moving forward because Sean's not that guy. You could tell he's uncomfortable when that happens.
And that's one of those things where maybe we should learn how to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Let me tell you something, and I'll say this publicly. He's been around 11 years. We've seen his system. I think he's a very good coach. He's a very smart coach. I think we can all agree about that. But his way to this point has not worked to get to the Final Four, correct?
Correct.
So don't you think that it would be best to go with something else?
You know, at the end of the day, you want to play to your players' strengths.
Correct.
Right? And, I mean, you can just tell the moment they let up, they seem discombobulated.
Yes, very much so.
And the rest is history. And you can foresee exactly what's coming. In fact, if you check Twitter, starting in the final 2 minutes of regulation, a lot of folks that I was reading foresaw exactly what was going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They didn't foresee the six straight answer, but they knew that Oregon was going to figure out a way. That's what happened.
Yeah. Let's try to switch gears because we have a little time with you. Biggest weekend for women's basketball in your time here?
Absolutely.
Isn't it fun?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, man. Arizona, like, Adia Barnes and the job that she has done, it has been such a fun ride watching Adia grow as a coach and the team grow under her as a result of her growth. I mean, shoot. 4 years into her tenure, she's got the 18th ranked team in the nation, welcoming in a third ranked team in the nation and a second ranked team in the nation in a scenario where, you know what? If they pull this off, if they can manage to win one game this weekend, I really wouldn't be that surprised.
Yeah. No, me too.
That's how far they've come.
It's funny, you're talking about the ride that she's put you on early. Guess what? It's just starting.
I know, and that's crazy to think, right? I mean, you talk about her recruiting prowess and the fact that at this point in her tenure, she's starting to capitalize on the opportunities of putting the fine details into place.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer about coaching the overall big picture process. Now she's being able to fine tune and work the machine to her liking, and that's great. I mean, it's great.
Yeah, no, it's and it makes your job fun and easy because there's plenty of stories and she's accessible.
And they're accessible, and that's what makes them easy to cover, obviously. But as a fan, I mean, it makes them easy to root for.
Oh, yeah.
This team is full of characters, full of stories, and they're for the most part, they're comfortable being themselves.
Yeah.
There's no wall, there's no barrier. So, yeah.
So you could actually do your story as a storyteller.
Imagine that.
So let me depress you, and we'll transition with this depression. Football just hired a football defensive football coach. It's transitioning to wah-wah. What does this mean?
With someone finalizing his staff?
Yes.
I guess it means his staff is finalized. we'll find out. Okay, here's the biggest issue, right? And the biggest positive that if you just look at it on paper, you can take away is that now he's got a defensive staff with tons of experience in Division I football and recruiting. Of the three new coaches that have been hired, Paul Rhodes, Stan Egan, and then Andy Boo today. I think Egan is the one that the hire that, at least for me, I'm really interested to see how things navigate. Just from a recruiting standpoint, did you hear about the story about how he got Von Miller to A&M?
No.
So apparently when he was at A&M recruiting Von Miller, for every week, if I've got this right, for every week of his recruitment for Von Miller, he handwrote him a note. Handwrote him a note explaining why they were the perfect fit, why he was the coach for him, and why Miller was going to excel far and above whatever expectations he may have set for himself in mm-hmm. high school. Handwrote him. So by the time that Miller left A&M, by the time he arrived at A&M, he had like 100 of these handwritten notes from Stan Egan. I guess Egan does this for his top recruits. He'll handwrite notes to them continually.
My suggestion now is start writing there, Coach Egan. Start writing.
Exactly.
Hey, I know
it's like.
Go ahead. Well, I know we wanted to talk real quick about the Rush drummer. Meant something to you. News broke today, earlier today, that he passed away. What did it mean to you?
Yeah, so Neil Peart, age 67, passed away from brain cancer. I think it was a few days ago, but the news just surfaced today. For me, growing up, Rush was my band. Like that, when I was introduced to Rush by my cousin, like everything sort of changed for me. I was a musician growing up, and just their music and their themes, their lyrics.
So you're an old soul.
I am, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I picked up the bass guitar because of Geddy Lee. So I was always following the rhythm, but Neil Peart to me, the drummer of Rush and the lyricist of Rush, arguably the greatest drummer of his generation, one of the greatest drummers of all time. And you know, they broke up, 2014 was their final tour, which no one knew about because they never actually said that until like a couple years later when Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson, the guitarist, confirmed that they weren't going to go on tour anymore. But they did that because of Peart's, you know, health problems. But they were the first stadium rock show that I'd ever seen. I in college, I did a whole like 5-minute speech on why they need to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And finally in 2013, they did. And I like, that was a nice celebration for me. So Neil Peart, rest in peace, my man, the professor, now and for always.
Thank you, Damien. Got to get you into the studio soon.
One day.
Thanks a bunch. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Thanks. Hey, thanks everybody for joining me this week on 1030 The Voice.